and a member of the mental health training group entitled Mental Health Technology Transfer Center. Dr. Shogren is a clinical associate, a professor at the University of North Dakota, and a member of the Mental Health Technology Transfer Center and Addiction Technology Transfer Center group as well. So, you know, we told you that we were looking for individuals like this that we could talk to that would understand rural North Dakota, rural America, and not be afraid to talk about the stress that farmers are under and some of the things that are going along with the mental health stress that are causing a high rate in suicides. And so let me see if I got the right button here. Dr. McLean, good to have you on News and Views again, sir.
Thanks much, Joel.
Okay, and let's get Dr. Shogren on. Dr. Shogren, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Okay, let me throw some questions at you. Dr. McLean, you know what? You're going to be mad at me if I don't do this. So let me just say Andy and Meredy. So, okay.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Andy, when you think about what's going on out there, how much of it do you think is known by a pickup passing a pickup? Do you think people are even seeing it?
Probably not. I think, you know, out on the farms, you know, they can be tight communities, but at the same time, it can be isolating. I don't think the general public really appreciates how much stress that farmers are under. Unless you grew up rural, and I grew up rural and worked on the farms in the summer, I don't think you have as good a sense of what they're going through.
And Meredy, I want to throw this to you because when I mentioned that we should bring this up, this came from a really good friend who's a minister in a rural area. He said people are depressed over farming. People are anxious to open up the economy. People are anxious over opening up as well and over having to stay home. So what I'm hearing and experiencing is anxiety and anger at things we can't control manifesting in lashing out at each other. Now, that comes from a man who counsels in a church every day, Meredy. I mean, that's a good pulse.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely. And I agree with Andy 100%. But what I would add to that is that we're talking about it in maybe some of our, with our clergy, we're talking about it in some of the professional communities. But I also grew up rural. And if I saw a farmer pass me on the road in the pickup and he's waving and smiling and saying hi, it's really easy to think everybody's doing okay. But our farm families are seeing it at home. We're seeing it in each other, but we're just not talking about it, Joel. And that's what we got to get out there. So the fact that clergy starting to talk about it, addressing it, we've got to talk about it more in an open fashion.
So is this about economy or weather? Or is this about all?
Oh, I think it's all of it. It's all of it. If you start looking at the type of stressors that our farmers especially are under, I don't think people, you know, realize we have everyday stressors. We have, but we have a lot of things we can't control. We can't control the weather. We can't control the market prices. Farmers have huge debt and cash flow issues that we're not familiar with. But then when you think particularly about those farm families, think about those constant responsibilities. Just because they're not in the field doesn't mean they're not thinking about the responsibilities and the work that's coming up or what they have to sell over the winter. Farm families work in their homes, essentially. You know, you and I might get a leave maybe after COVID and go to a workplace and come home, get a break. Farmers are there all the time. And we've got this multi-generational impact with farmers where we've got families that have they're living together, they're working together, and they're experiencing those stressors. So there's just so many levels of stress that farm families are going through that maybe those of us who don't work in that profession aren't realizing.
So Andy, say I'm a spouse. Let's use that as an example. And I'm thinking there's a red flag issue here, but I'm not really sure. I mean, what's the indicators? That is he drinking too much? Is he? I mean, what tells me that hey, I've got to pay attention here?
Yeah, well, what you mentioned with the minister is something that actually a lot of people are going through right now is the irritability. But we would look for things, you know, are they out of character? You know, is a person behaving in a way that, you know, isn't usually the case? Sleep can be a significant problem. Like you'd mentioned, Joel, drinking or use of other drugs. It's not uncommon right now that people, I mean, alcohol sales are up significantly. And unfortunately, people are using, you know, other substances as ways of coping. If a person is talking about, you know, hopelessness or, you know, that there's not a light at the end of the tunnel, I mean, those are certainly the sorts of things that should make you perk up and start asking questions. And then, you know, there are a lot of resources out there, you know, whether it's clergy, whether it's calling 211, whether it's the extension offices, both in at NDSU and University of Minnesota. There are a number of good programs out there that people worried about can give a call to, even if it's not the individual themselves.
Meredy, there's some, I mean, both of us have, we grew up, all three of us grew up around this. I realize
yeah.
it, but there's something different about losing or not succeeding in something that your father had handed down to him from his father. I mean, it just gives you a real sense of failure when this has been in your family for that long, Meredy.
Yeah, it sure can, but it's also that sense of responsibility. We want to do good, and we want people to recognize that we're doing good. And, you know, we often have selective memories. You know, our previous generations also went through hardships. Maybe we don't remember that. Maybe we remember the good things, but we just have that innate desire to want to please, and we want to do good, and we want to continue the great reputations of our farms. So that's an impact. It's very stressful. Absolutely.
So when people hear your two resumes, it can be intimidating. It really can. But when they hear you talk like this, it's like you're their neighbor. I mean, is there a way, Dr. McLean, to get out to where, I mean, are you guys getting out or using other tools to get out to just give people access to talk to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the silver linings, if you want to call it that, of this COVID situation is it's opened up a lot of virtual care. So telepsychiatry, telebehavioral health. And so actually, you know, that can be particularly for people who are really concerned about, you know, pride, stigma, not wanting to go to your clinic or a mental health provider, park in your pickup in the parking lot, people know who you are. This virtual care allows people to be more anonymous, or at least to have more privacy. And I think that's actually a potential benefit, not only now, but I think in the future as far as where healthcare goes.
And guys, when you say that, I mean, think about who the last person to go to the doctor if they feel a lump on their neck. I mean, they ignore it, they ignore it, and finally it's gotten so
yep.
big, okay, I got to go. So
yep.
mental health must really be a struggle to get them to recognize and address.
Yeah, particularly with the stigma. I mean, that's a huge barrier. And then the other is access, like we talked about. North Dakota doesn't have enough therapists. They don't have enough mental yep. health providers. But I think that, you know, opening up to you know, allowing for virtual care, you know, there have been waivers now with COVID that other people from other states can beam in and assist people anywhere in the world. And so, you know, for instance, on, you know, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, they've got Abound Counseling through Lutheran Social Services, and they're all over the state, but they also do telebehavioral health. And so there's more access.
Good for them. I mean, really good for them. There was a recognition a while back from the North Dakota Farmers Union. They actually had a conference on this that I went to. And, you know, you're never going to pack the room with a conference like this. But what I heard in it was going to spread outside of it. And Meredy, mm-hmm. when I was there, I thought, this is such forward thinking. I mean, and that's not always so easy to find here.
Sure. No, absolutely. And I really do like your example of that, almost that denial. You know, we do that in many aspects of our health care. And, you know, the thing about, you know, farm families and really one of the products that Andy and I worked on is a product that addresses co-occurrence of alcohol use disorder and depression. And those are things that we can be in denial about. You know, maybe we're not really sure how much alcohol we're using. Maybe we're not aware of the risk behavior that's going on. Maybe we're experiencing all of those symptoms that Andy talked about, or maybe our families are recognizing all of those symptoms that Andy talked about. But we just want to say, yeah, it's okay. It's not that bad. You know, I don't have to reach out at this point. So when you do have conferences like that, you have people talking about and getting it out there. It makes us more aware of what's going on. And it also triggers providers to remember that we've got to ask about those symptomologies and we've got to ask those questions.
So either one of you can jump in on this because, you know, what the heck? I don't know which one for sure to ask. And I think you're both pretty bright about this. So you've got a spouse or you've got children who, you know, older children who can see there's a problem and they can talk about it without, you know, hopefully they will talk about it. You've got clergy, like we discussed. Who else could help without being seen as though you stuck your nose into my business? Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I do see what you're getting at. And I think there's two levels. I mean, we've got to open up to each other as friends and peers in that farming industry. And, you know, we're really good in rural America to say, hey, how are you doing? Great. And we move on. But how often do we say, how's your health? How are you really feeling? How are you handling this? Are you doing okay? Or maybe I'm feeling that stress. So I think we do need to ask each other. But on the provider level, you know, we get primary care has a huge weight on their shoulders. We've got a lot of responsibilities to our farm families, but we also have to get better about asking those questions in a manner that people feel very comfortable responding. And so, you know, it's important for everybody to know when we ask those questions. It's all with good intention. And sometimes, you know, we might have a farmer who only is able to come in to see us on a rainy day. You know, let's get them in there. Maybe they're coming in and they're talking to them that their belly hurts a little bit, and maybe we need to ask more questions. Well, maybe we're having some increased pain because the drinking is a little bit more than what we expected, or maybe you're not eating well because you're so stressed and that depression is there. So it's everybody asking the question and knowing that it's acceptable to ask that question. And it's providers honing in on the symptoms and the red flags as people present for care.
You know, Andy, I have a friend. I'll just describe him that way, even though he's so much more. But he struggles with alcoholism. And I think that he struggles with alcoholism. I think part of it is just the stress of what he does. I think that played into it. And I always can tell when he's doing well, you know, when he's talking about it. You know, when he talks to me about it, he says, that night I got AA class, or, yep, I'm doing good, right, Freddie, you know, that kind of thing. How do you get them to there?
Well, you know, that's the dilemma. It's how much responsibility should we have as friends, as community, how much responsibility is on the individual? I think, you know, as Mary Dee was talking, you know, reducing the stigma, getting the whole community to be, you know, partners in this, I think is important. But also, when Meredy was talking about the primary care providers, there's something called motivational interviewing, and there's something, you know, stages of change. There are some people that just, they're thinking about quitting, or they're not quite there, or they go back and forth. And I think being able to help people to get the information they need to capture those times where they're ready to move a little bit closer towards doing something about it or maintaining. There's actually kind of a science to this, but we've got to get better at, instead of punishing people or saying, you know, it's all or nothing, abstinence or nothing, is moving people to harm reduction. What can you do to be, you know, healthier? What can you do to gradually get to a point, you know, where you're not using as much? And so I think one of the reasons that people don't go for help is they think, you know, this is all or nothing, you know, and I'm going to fail because I failed before. And so we got to change our attitude about how we engage with people who are struggling.
Yep. Some of the happiest people I have in my life are people who didn't want to get out of farming, got out of farming, and realized there was a whole nother world out there. It's amazing.
Yes. And it's sad too, Joel. That's sad because we feel for them and the stress that they're under. And farmers, we're just good people in these rural communities, and our farmers are great people.
But it's hard because they didn't know any other life, you know. They're so talented, guys. Can I hang on to you through this break? A couple more questions,
sure.
Okay? Dr. Andy McLean and Dr. Meredy Shogren. Let's go find our commodity prices first with Sarah Heinrich. Sarah.
Well, we're seeing just very little movement on the board. We're experiencing a mixed board this morning. July corn down a quarter at 318, December at 332, down a half. July wheat's up a nickel and a quarter at 513, September at 524, up a nickel. July soybeans up 4.5 at 844. New crop November at 849, up 4.25. In the cattle market, August feeder cattle down 65 cents at 132.43. September feeder cattle 73 cents lower. June live cattle up 78 cents at 94.65. And June lean hogs up 43 cents at 58.30. With your markets, I'm Farm and Ranch Director Sarah Heinrich for the News and Views Radio Network.
A couple of quick text messages. A sponsor in AA, that fellowship has saved my life. Another one. Amen, Joel, about moving on from farming after being a fifth generation farmer. And I thank you for what you're doing. there, even though your politics need some fine tuning. All right, let's get back to Dr. Andy McLean and Dr. Meredith Shogren. The reason I wanted you guys to hang in there is to tell people where to go. You know, we focused on what's going on. I'll start with you, Meredith. If you were a farmer driving in your pickup right now and you just connected with what you guys said, where do you go?
I think you start where you feel comfortable. And so sometimes that's your family. Who can you talk to there? You can talk to your clergy, you can talk to your healthcare provider. But if you want to do some work on your own, we've got a lot of new online resources that have opened up. In fact, AA has done some great work to get some online support groups that are out there, for example, if we're talking about substance use. You want to talk and look for some mental health resources. Part of the work that Andy and I do on our Technology Transfer Center grant teams are to put together resources that are readily accessible and free for our farm families. And over the past 6 months, we've been putting out a ton of trainings, and these are all accessible on our website.
Okay. Dr. McLean, you've been so accessible to us. I thank you, sir. We'll call again. Is that okay?
That sounds good. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Andy.
211 is the first link.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Bye-bye.
Great. And we'll have that on our website. These interviews will be podcast at the home base of the News and Views Radio Network. All of that contact information will be made available. Everything that we've gotten from them will be there. Meredy, Andy, thank you too so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Great people doing a tough, tough job. When we come.